Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, what's up? What's going on, Tiki and Tierney? Ready to roll on a Friday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, coming from our studios here. It's the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Come on in as we jump into the show here on a Friday. Teak is out. He is back on Tuesday. So, Teaky getting a little respite that, quite frankly, I think we could all probably use. But good for my partner. Enjoy it. We'll do our thing. By the way, we got Gary Payton coming up today. And Gary's going to join us this hour. I can't wait to talk to Gary about, like, the way he would defend some of these unique guards. Like, how would he try to stop Trae Young? Not saying he couldn't, but there was really nobody like Trae Young when Gary Payton was, you know, the best defensive guard in the NBA back in the day. Certainly one of them, if not the best, for a bunch of years. How would he defend Doncic? I think that's going to be really interesting to talk about. So we'll get with him coming up. We'll get with Will Middlebrooks, who is part of CBS Sports HQ. And Will is a champion, played for the Red Sox for a couple of years, and he's an analyst now and pretty good one. We'll get into some of the, you know, some of the offseason movement, whether it's Trevor Bauer with the Dodgers, Lindor with the Mets. We'll get into Tatis's deal. We'll get into all that stuff. And also Rondale Moore. I'm looking forward to this chat. That's in the third hour. So you Big Ten fans certainly know Rondale Moore from Purdue, who just burst on the scene as a freshman, had like 1,200 yards and I think it was 12 total touchdowns, 10 receiving, couple of, you know, on jet sweeps, whatever. He runs like a 4-3 change. He flies. The last 2 years hasn't played a whole lot. He's only played 7 games in, in the 2 years. So it's going to be interesting to see where he gets drafted, but he squats like 600 pounds. I just put something on my Twitter account earlier today if you want to go check it out. And it's a nice compilation of Rondale Moore highlights. And again, he's an obvious burner. So when he gets in the open field, no one's catching him. But I didn't quite realize, you know, the pop that he punches. Like, you squat 600 pounds, you generally don't run a 4.3 340. He is just, there is just, D-Cell, you saw what I posted, right? It is just a continuous, you know, like almost like a pinball effect, just bouncing off of people. How impressive was that?
I knew he was a speedster. I didn't know he had that ability to break tackles like that, quite frankly.
Running through multiple people. So we'll do that. Gary Payton, first hour. Will Middlebrook, second hour. And Rondale Moore, Purdue star wideout, third hour. All right, let's get to some quarterback stuff here. So, you know, it's amazing. We have talked about this for so long. And, you know, we were ahead of this. I mean, we told you months ago, at this point, almost a half a year ago. I think months is kind of selling it short. It's closer to about half a calendar year where Teak and I, you know, went through every situation and kind of projected some real volatility in the quarterback ranks. And it's been fun. It's been, you know, click-worthy. We've led almost every show with quarterback conversations, of course, focusing primarily on Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson more recently. But, you know, I was thinking about this. And, you know, while the NBA's morphed into this bit of a transient league, we know, you know, a superstar's not happy, like James Harden. He flexes, he gets his wish, he's dealt. Anthony Davis, he flexes, he gets dealt, he gets his wish, he gets his championship too. And we'll see if Harden cashes in on that this year with the Nets, and he might. You know, we've seen this really going back to the summer of 2010 with LeBron and the announcement. And then, of course, Bosch with the Heat and others, right? A lot of player movement. I think for whatever reason, and I think that there's an expiration date on that to an extent as well, which I've said before. But that in totality, I don't think it's been bad for the NBA. No matter of fact, I think it's boosted certainly social media traction. I don't know if there's a direct correlation to ratings. A lot of the NBA ratings have been down And over the last year or so, a lot of it is, you know, I mean, you can position it a million different ways. And there are a lot of factors with the ratings being somewhat down. But I think that I don't think it's attributable to player movement, I guess is what I'm saying. And what happened there is that it basically enabled the NBA to morph into or from, you know, depending upon, listen, if you're a devout NBA fan, of course you're there on Halloween night or November 1st in a conventional year, and you're watching all year. You don't need, you know, ABC and ESPN to roll out six games on Christmas Day, like the symbolic start of the NBA season, for you to get jacked up if you're a real NBA fan. You're invested from the opening tip, like me. But for the casual fans, that's kind of the jump-in period. College football, pretty much over. You know, you're into the meat way past. Basically, the NFL regular season's over. College basketball season, conference action has started up, but it hasn't really fully ramped up yet. I think it's great for the NBA. And it's basically gone now into, morphed into about a 10-month conversation, which is good for the league. They have found the way. Baseball's never found the way to do this. They have found the way to continue their relevance and extend their window of relevance, quite frankly, by a minimum 3 months, all right? And that has not hurt business, even with some downticks in the ratings. The NFL, I'm here to tell you, I think that this is a very different story. I think it's cool now. I enjoy it now. I think you enjoy it now. But if this becomes a daily occurrence, like every single offseason, there's a litany of stars who recently signed contracts who are no longer happy. You know, the first round pick who's get rid of him, not good, a year or two into it, discarded like that. I think it's going to get old really quick. I really do. Now, the good thing, if you would agree with my assertion that this is not good for business, there's only so many Deshaun Watsons and Russell Wilsons in the NFL. They're two of the five best quarterbacks in football. So it's not like you can recreate to that degree, you know, undeniable franchise talent, certainly in Wilson's case, already a Hall of Famer. And in Deshaun Watson's case, you know, you just replicate what you did this past year three, four, five more times. He's also a Hall of Famer. There's only a few of those guys around the NFL, you know, and as Brady ages out and as Breeze retires, now we get into the two players I just mentioned, you know, the Justin Herberts, the Joe Burrows when he comes back, Lamar Jackson with an MVP, et cetera, et cetera. But you look at this past year, right? And the crazy thing is, like, we've talked about so many of these situations. I got news for you. There's situations around the NFL, like a lot of my buddies are Giants fans, and they're convinced that under no circumstance will Daniel Jones not be the starter in week one. Now, that's not to say that that's what they're all hoping for. They actually kind of hope that the Giants would keep an open mind, right? And I'm here to tell you, I mean, I don't expect it, but it wouldn't stun me if the Giants did something crazy, although Gettleman's a little stubborn, so they probably won't. But if they did something wacky on draft night and they somehow scooted into a position either to take a different player or make a trade, I don't know that they'd be in on Deshaun Watson. Point being, it's not just about these stars. And I don't know, B-Cell, I think if you look at like the overhead view, the overhead snapshot of Tiki and Tierney for the past 6 months, I think, and maybe even a little bit longer, I think it's been really riveting because it's unique. It's fresh. It's a new way of conversing. It's a new way of trying to determine what the future of the NFL will look like. We've never had these conversations, but as I look at it, and I want to make sure I don't miss anything here. So I mentioned Tua, all right? I don't know if Tua can truly play. I like him a little less than my partner does. We'll find out eventually who's right. I mean, we've had the Dak drama now for multiple years. Washington drafts Haskins a couple of years back. He's a goner. We all know what's going on with my guy with Sam Darnold and the Jets. You know, every year we'll get to Derek Carr seemingly we'll get to Derek Carr more next segment. Seemingly every year, you know, you've got the Raiders pledging their allegiance to Derek Carr, but you know, there's always that little story here. Well, you know, you never know. I think it's awesome once every 7-8 years. D-Cell, I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to tell you, our audience, obviously, if this becomes a daily practice within the NFL where Continuity is a great thing, all right? And fans expect continuity. And the teams that have continuity, both in the coaching ranks and on the roster, are the teams that ultimately win, maybe not always Super Bowls, but certainly are in the mix for playoff spots with great frequency. If this is what we have to deal with every year, D-Cell, this will hurt the NFL. It's going to hurt the league.
I think there's a fine line between player movement and quarterback movement.
I totally agree.
I think that fans will get tired of star quarterbacks constantly wanting out, wanting a new contract, wanting a better chance to win a championship. But I think if star play, if you take out quarterback from it, star wide receivers, star running backs, I don't think fans would mind that as much. And I don't know if that would be bad for the game.
Well, I don't know that it would be great for the game, but I agree with your first premise. I don't think fans would mind it as much because I think fans, for the most part, are savvy enough to know that, you know, listen, outside of the verbiage being different, the route tree is the same, the concepts, schematics are pretty much the same. And as we get, you know, deeper into the 2020s and college football just continues to be transferred, the concepts of college football in the passing attack, offensively speaking, from Saturdays to Sundays, then the transition to whatever team you're playing on, it's just a lot easier to adapt. I mean, you could go from the AFC East to the NFC South if you're a running back, if you're a defensive end, if you're a tight end, if you're a wide receiver, and it's pretty much it's pretty much plug and play. But I'm telling you, you have quarterbacks, and I'll take it a step further, even if let's say Russell Wilson's traded. Let's say eventually the Texans wake up and they realize they're going to have to trade Deshaun Watson, and they do. I don't think it's unrealistic to expect maybe not an appreciable downtick in performance where it's so noticeable that there's an element of underachievement and the scrutiny is so palpable. But I would be surprised, like if Russell Wilson's on a different team next year, depending upon, you know, when he's dealt, obviously, based on the league calendar and the ability to get in the building. If Antique has said this, and he's right, if it's too close or if it's past OTAs and it's after the draft, I don't care how smart you are or how quickly you assimilate or how good you are, it's not going to be easy for a quarterback. And I really think that, like, you want to know, as a fan of an NFL team, you want to know two things you care about. There are two things that will light up social media more than anything: quarterback and head coach. If you have a quarterback, you're pumped and you're tweeting and you're throwing out props and you're enjoying the ride. If you don't, you're lamenting what you don't have. You're pining for what you want. And if you don't have a good coach, you know, you're just very vocal. This guy's a scrub. This guy's got to get fired. We got to move on. Trust me, I've seen it with Gase. It is what it is. Anthony Lynn, you know, who I thought, quite frankly, deserved to be fired. And I said that on the show. And I've watched a lot of Charger games. You know, there were just too many malfunctions at the end of games, clock management, you know, basic things that when you're, you know, as a rookie coach, all right, things are moving quick like a rookie player. You know, you're 3-4 years on the job. These things need to be, it's got to be, you know, just back of your hand. I mean, just, that's it. Oh, here it is. Boom. This is what we're doing. And that wasn't the case for him. And, you know, he felt, well, I didn't agree with the vitriol. You know, he felt the heat on social media. Nothing gets a fan base riled up or emboldened like quarterbacks and coaches. And the other stuff, to me, those are interchangeable pieces. Yeah, they're glitzy. They're highlight reel-inducing players. They're fantasy assets. But the quarterback conversation is a different one. And you might be listening to this saying, you're nuts. It's been awesome. You know, give me more Deshaun Watson. Give me more Russell Wilson. Give me more Derek Carr. Give me more Tua. Give me more Darnold. Give me more Jameis Winston. Give me more everything. Give it to me. I'm telling you. It's good because it's new. And it's a novel concept. It's fresh material. You don't want to know, you know, 3 months before the start of your season, or at least the meat of your offseason, who your quarterback is. That's not good. And that'll manifest itself in a lot of 5-11s and a lot of confusion. And eventually, I think a lot of resentment from fans. So I think you Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. It's crazy, though. You know, and I understand the economics of the game. Trust me, I get it. You know, you draft a guy early, you throw him out there. If he can play, great. You'll know early if he's got the requisite physical gifts. Like, can he make the throws? Can he see things quickly? I don't mean next level Peyton Brady stuff, but can he at least decipher what's in front of him? Beyond a rudimentary level. You know right away, Herbert, oh, he's got that. Burrow, oh, man, he's got that. You watch Josh Rosen play a couple of years ago, eh. You watch Sam Darnold, go, eh. That's different because the finances of having to commit to a franchise quarterback necessitate that kind of scrutiny and, quite frankly, that kind of volatility. But franchise quarterback signing deals and then saying, get me out of here, I think there's a real definitive expiration point to how much we enjoy that. That's all I'm saying. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki is out. We've got Gary Payton coming up this hour. Will Middlebrooks from CBS Sports HQ. Do a little baseball. Rondale Moore, very intriguing prospect. Stud from Purdue wideout. He's going to join me in the third hour. Coming up next, though, one of those quarterbacks who has generally been spared. Like his coaches and his GM, Mike Mayock, they tend to rally around him, but there's always enough smoke for us to deduce on some level that the Raiders aren't fully satisfied with Derek Carr. Should they be? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. But all right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki is out. I'll tell you what, I told him yesterday, there was a picture that surfaced. Well, surfaced. He put it up. Maybe, actually, Tracy may have put it up. I don't think Tiki put it up. I think his wife put it up, to be fair to Tiki. And to be honest, if I looked like that, I would tell my wife to put it up, too. He was at some party, socially distanced. It was very few people. And he was there, and it's him and two other guys. And they're wearing Speedos. D-Cell, did you see that picture?
I did not, and I don't think I want to see it.
No, you don't. But listen, again, if that ever surfaced of me, I mean, I would be horrified for a lot of reasons. Teak, it looks a lot better on Teak than it would be. So I hope he's having a great vacation. But Teak, that's not a picture we need to see anymore. We saw it once. You look good. You didn't post it. Your wife did. She's proud. I get it. I would be too, I guess, if I was your wife. But, oh, my God, I clowned him so hard. As soon as he came back from that, I'm like, what in the world was on Instagram this past weekend? And he was laughing, obviously. If you can't laugh at yourself, you can't have any fun. So we got Gary Payton coming up next segment, right? That'll be cool. We're going to hear from Mike Mayock in a moment. Want to play something he said about Derek Carr, have a little Derek Carr conversation here. But just to continue the bridge from the quarterback discussion last segment, you know, not that these mocks necessarily will come to fruition. It's just an overall assessment of talent. Although what I do like with Kiper and McShay is that they've now incorporated trades, which is good because it is pretty easy to get a sense of what teams are motivated to make a move and what teams are not. And, you know, I said this yesterday pertaining to the Jets. I said, hey, listen, you know, the Jets sitting in the two spot. I am throwing out all sorts of signals directly to Matt Rhule in Carolina. Open for business. Come on up. If I'm Joe Douglas, shoot up to the two spot. Take whatever quarterback you want. And I'll gladly drop down to 8, roll it back with Sammy Freer with an offensive line and some weapons. Get more first-round picks. We already got 2 from Seattle. Let's go to work and see what happens. But the latest mock is, now I don't know if this was from McShay or Kiper, but he's got 4 quarterbacks going in a row, which is, I'm not saying it's not implausible. It certainly could happen because you know Trevor's going 1 to the Jaguars. I mean, there's a really good chance if the Jets stick at 2 and they go quarterback. If the Jets stay at 2, I firmly believe they're taking Zach Wilson. Where I go off is I believe there's a pretty decent chance that they could drop down, as I just said, not necessarily take a quarterback, but maybe try to target Pitts from Florida or Penei Sewell from Oregon, whatever, one of the wide receivers, right? But if you have a situation where it's Jaguars quarterback, Jets quarterback too, in the mock that I saw, I think it was released this morning or yesterday, maybe this morning, they had what was it? They had the Panthers dealing with Miami, moving up to the three spot, and they took Justin Fields. And then the Falcons sitting in the four spot and not moving, which is where they currently reside, taking Lance. So, you know, that would be nuts. I mean, that would really, if that happens, there are going to be some really already good teams getting some superstars at spots that generally superstars are not falling to. You know, a lot of people say there's that delineation. I want, and every draft is obviously unique, some stronger, some weaker. I get it. But for the most part, you know, at least on paper, the perceived superstars are taken before 10. Unless they're, even Warren Sapp was top 10 and he dropped because of the marijuana. Think about that. Think about how long, and by the way, which team passed over him? My team for a tight end from Penn State, who all he did was block. Hey, what a move. Jets took Kyle Brady 8th, and the Bucs took Warren Sapp 9th. The Jets were scared because he smoked pot. Good job, Jets. But this draft is going to be crazy. And one of the wild cards here is absolutely the Las Vegas Raiders, who continue to rally around their guy, all right, who, by the way, is going to be 30 this month. Suddenly, Derek Carr is in his 30s, just like that. Boom, in his 30s. And Mike Mayock, I mean, get out the big, big knife for the. He is laying it up. The condiments were laid on heavily. Listen to this.
I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. And I tell you every year, I mean, we evaluate every position every year. I have no idea who might call me or who might not call me. So you have to do the evaluations both on your own players and every other player in the league. And you got to stack your boards and understand what league value is all around
right.
the league.
Here's
and we
the
do
GM
that.
Speak. Yeah, we understand.
But if you're
that.
Asking me about Derek, I
yeah.
mean,
that's all we
I think
care
John
about.
And I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr.
I like Mayock. I thought that was a unique hire. He's whiffed a little bit. You know, his first pick, Cleveland Farrow, fourth overall, was not what I would have done, nor has it really paid the dividends that it needs to pay the four spot. But well, that was an out-of-the-box hire. Mayock is a good football mind. You know, a little hyperbole there, a little, you know, coach talk, a little GM talk. We're going to bang the table for this guy. Our draft board is stacked up this way. But, of course, we'll evaluate all the things you have to say. Let's focus on the one thing that only really, the only thing that matters, all right? Everything else is rehearsed rhetoric nonsense, right? The only thing, or regurgitated nonsense, the only thing that matters there, to me, is when he says, Derek Carr is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, I would love to have Mike on our show, and hopefully we'll get him on the show soon. And if he said that to us, I would say, I got you. He's your, you know, all right, Mike, I hear you. What is your definition of one of the, like, at what point, numbers-wise, are you talking, does that include top five, which he obviously is not? Is it top 10, which I don't believe he is? I mean, if you tell me he's top 15, I'll say he definitely is. But if you're number 13 or 14, are you really one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL? The answer is no. That doesn't mean you can't win with that player. The thing that worries me about Derek Carr, all right, is that he's had so many assets around him. You think about the young quarterbacks who have really scuffled, right? And we know them. We don't always have to just go through the list. We know who they are. Those quarterbacks invariably either have two things that they've really, really been able, and that it's out of their control, two things they've had to deal with. Turnover at the coaching staff, at least, you know, more than once, which means you've got two new systems, two new voices, two new approaches. That's tough for a young kid. Or you have a porous offensive line. Or in my guy's case, you actually have both. Yay! More good stuff for the Jets. But when you're running for your life, going through progressions, yeah, okay. I mean, we can sit in that dimly lit quarterback room and until the roosters start crowing, and you can point out with that flashlight, you see, when you see this guy who's open, yeah, I see him, coach. The problem is I got three guys running after me, and I'm 15 yards out of the pocket, and I'm dead. All right, so I'm either throwing a pick, I'm either getting crushed, or I'm throwing it out of bounds. So I hear you. Yes, I understand conceptually what you are saying. He's open. I got it. But I have no time to get him the football. And when that see, that's the problem, too. When you deal with that for too long, and interestingly, Derek Carr's brother dealt with that. I mean, David Carr maybe would have been a pretty good quarterback. But when you are running for your life for the first 2 or 3 years of your career, now you're perceived to be an underachiever because the stats just aren't commensurate with the draft selection. All right. And a lot of that is unfair and unsubstantiated by people who don't truly know football. They pile on and they latch onto the rhetoric, but the circumstances they ignore, which bothers me for all young quarterbacks. And then all of a sudden you're 3 years in and the numbers aren't pretty and it's time to move on. And you're perceived to have been a bust when in reality, everything is broken down around you so quickly that you had no chance to succeed. I say all this because the only thing that's preventing me from saying, from agreeing with Mayock's assertion about Carr is that unlike the Rosens in Arizona, the Darnolds with the Jets, even the Josh Allens early with the Buffalo Bills, right? Unlike those guys, those young players, Derek Carr, the Raiders, have devoted more free agent money to their offensive line than anybody in the NFL. He's got a good offensive line. Now, is it top three? No, I'd have to see where PFF has. I don't think it's top three. I'd tell you this. I know it's not 22nd or 27th. It's good, and it's been good for a couple of years. And he's got a good running back in Josh Jacobs. He's got a top three tight end in Darren Waller. You picked up Ruggs, who's got to learn to hold on to the ball a little bit better. But at least with 4-3 speed, he's blowing the top off of defenses, and the whole field is open. Why do you think Waller's always, well, number one, he's awesome. But why do you think he's always open? Because when Ruggs plays, you got to respect that speed. You got to drop back. You got to lay off a little bit. Oh, look, they're worried about, you know, getting beat for a 70-yard gash. There's Waller for 13. There's Waller for 19. There's Jacobs for a 9-yard run. That's how you win in the – that's how a quarterback looks good in the NFL. And he's had all of that. There's no excuses for Derek Carr not to be good. Like, he's supposed to be good. You know what I mean? He was very good a second year before he got hurt. Now, the knock on him – and he was in the MVP race that year, to be fair to Derek. And I like Derek Carr. But, again, when – Mike Mayock says he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. That's ridiculous. He's not even close to being one of the best, in my opinion, and with all due respect. Is he competent? Yes. Is he an asset more so than a detriment? No question. Can you win with him? Yes. If the Raiders tighten up that defense, they shouldn't be... See, Mike Mayock should not be... I know he was asked about this, but he shouldn't devote his energy to defending Derek Carr on what... I don't know if that was a press conference. It wasn't a show because I would have attributed to a certain show. I guess it was just a presser or a conference call with or a Zoom with reporters. He should be devoting every ounce of energy to fixing that horrendously porous defense, because if he gets that done, then maybe the Raiders could actually do what John Gruden was brought there to do for $10 million a year, totaling $100 million. I don't know. Win? You know, I mean, maybe that Derek Carr can win. I think the most obvious step this year for Derek Carr was that he finally, like the shackles were finally freed. You know, the little check down Charlie, look at it. I mean, I know it in my heart. I know what his yards per attempt were as a kid. You know, 1 year it was in the fives. Then there was, you know, just incrementally bumped up in the sixes. This year it popped. So there was finally... less reluctance to let it fly a little bit. And that was John Gruden's biggest beef. But, I mean, come on. Mike, I respect it, and I respect Mike Mayock. Nobody's buying that. He's not one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. D-Cell, before we get the update from our buddy Ack, if I said to you right now, we all know the great quarterbacks, if I said Derek Carr is the 14th best quarterback in the NFL, is that a fair... tier? Is that a fair spot for him to reside?
Middle of the pack is where I see Derek Carr. I think he has the potential to be better. I think he should be better.
Mm-hmm.
Do I buy Mike Mayock saying he's one of the best? I don't. But I think the narrative has slowly built up for Carr over the years that he's just a guy. And I think he's more than that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Has he shown that week in and week out? No. To be fair, he has not.
Mm-hmm. He's more than a guy. I'll definitely grant you that. I never said once during that whole segment that he's just a guy. No, he's more than a guy. The question is he the man? You know, that's where you have to delineate. And I would say no. But again, based on the circumstances, the defense, etc., you fix that up, you can win with Derek. I wouldn't dispute that. Update from Ack will come back. The glove. Can you imagine Gary Payton trying to check up Luka Doncic right now? How sweet would that be? Well, how would he try to stop him? How would he defend somebody like Steph Curry, somebody like Trae Young, the unique style of the modern NBA with an old-school defensive demon? The glove is next after Axe Update, which is right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up on this Friday? Appreciate you hanging out. Tiki is out, so I'm going solo. And it's time to ask the pros right now. We'll give you a chance to ask us, or today, me, anything you want, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just drop us a tweet. Pretty easy stuff. Been doing this for a while. But if you're new to the show, drop a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. I will go through the best ones along with Santer and D-Cell. And I'll handle it on air. And we'll hit it. There you go. Give you some props as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. And excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, I don't know, it's about 42 minutes past the hour here on the show. And we'll get with the glove. I got nothing but glove for you. Got nothing but glove for you. Can you imagine Gary? I can't wait to ask him this. Gary Payton, right, in his absolute physical prime, picking up Luka Doncic, you know, 94 feet. He scores, ball's inbounded, bang, glove is right on Doncic. Or fighting through screens and defending Curry. Or how would he defend James Harden? That would be a unique one. Those are all things I'll throw by the Hall of Famer. So we'll get with Gary in a little bit. Will Middlebrook's going to join me hour two, do some baseball stuff. A lot of the player movement from this past offseason, whether it's Bauer, Lindor, Arenado for the Cardinals. We'll do a little on Tatis's contract jumper. Aaron Boone's heart issue, what that might mean for the Yankees in the dugout, although he's expected back soon, which is obviously great news for Aaron. We'll do that. And at 5:20 Eastern, Rondale Moore, outstanding burner of a receiver for Purdue, formerly of Purdue. And he's an interesting draft case because he's not big. He's only about 5'9", but he squats 6 bills. He runs a 4.33 40. And I said this at the top of the show. I tweeted something out. His highlight reel, there's probably about 30 plays on it on my personal Twitter account. And most of them involve him seeking contact, running through people, and then obviously with 4.33 speed, nobody's catching you, running away from people. But he is injury prone. He only played seven games, I think, the last couple of seasons. All right, so as we wait for GP to get in, let's start getting some NBA stuff. The All-Star, you know, listen, I'm sure if I was a kid, I would love the All-Star selections. Like, I would really be into that. There's no doubt. I think if you listen to the show, the energy that I have, and you can kind of still see, even though I'm obviously far from a kid, I love this stuff. You know, when we start talking about sneakers or, you know, old dunk contests, like my eyes light up. It was a galvanizer for me as a kid. I loved every aspect of it, from the posters to all the gear to the sneakers to trying to emulate these guys in the dunk contest in my backyard, lowering the rim, which drove my dad nuts. Did it anyway, but it drove my dad nuts. And, you know, I look at this last night and, you know, it's all right. I'm not saying it's not cool. I'm not here to be that guy who said, well, you know, back in the day it was cool. And that, no, I'm not here to say it was, you know, weak or whack or anything. I don't really get into it. I don't. I was watching the Knick game last night. And then my in-laws were in from out of state. So we had a good time with that. And I wasn't sitting there watching Durant and LeBron see who they're going to pick. I guess I find it somewhat interesting that both Utah Jazz players were selected last. You know, and I think LeBron's team right now, at least on paper, dwarfs Kevin Durant's team. Kevin's not even going to play. But it is very, very surprising that they're having an All-Star setup this weekend. Very surprising. And, you know, I really thought the players would resist this more. And quite frankly, I said this in real time, but I'll say it now because it's coming up this weekend. Disappointed in the players. The players have so much power in the NBA, and they've got so much juice, and they use it well, and they use it to their advantage with certain things, right? It's one thing to speak out against it, but those words, they were all hollow. You know, LeBron was whining about it, but guess what? LeBron showed up. Guess what? LeBron was doing the thing last night. He was doing the captain thing on TNT with his buddy KD. I don't get it. You know, if I'm Julius Randle and it's my first All-Star game, I'm running from the Garden to Atlanta, if that's what it means to be an all-star. If I'm some of the other guy, yeah, sure. Some of the lesser profile players, that whether it's their first bid or their second bid, and they're just beginning their climb, their ascent to superstardom and generational wealth, yeah, absolutely. But what, like, I don't, if LeBron, how does LeBron James play? Why would he play? I don't know why he would play. They've lost 7 of 10 without AD. And I was surprised. I saw this morning they flashed the odds on the screen for the MVP. And Embiid was 1. LeBron was 2, which makes no sense. LeBron's not number 2 right now. There's no way. You can't lose 7 of 10 when your other superstar goes out and be second in the MVP voting. As great as he is, and as great as the numbers are, there is no way LeBron is top 2 this year for the MVP. Don't forget about Joker. Don't forget about Dame Lillard. James Harden's coming. Doncic is coming. And I watched the All-Star game. I'll put it on. Although, D-Cell, did you see the uniforms that dropped last night on social media? Weird uniforms.
I liked them.
You liked them? To me, they were like yellow and blue. They felt like summer league jerseys, which is not a bad thing, or something out of the ABA. I don't love them. I don't think that they encapsulate the, like, I look at, and again, okay, maybe it's just because it's when I was younger, but I look at back, like those red, white, and blue, where it just said East and West, those fresh red, white, and blue ones that Jordan had, and Magic, and Bird, and Ewing, and Barkley, and Olajuwon, and Robinson, like those things were awesome. I feel like they've tried to get a little too cute the last couple of years. How would you even describe them? They were yellow and blue, right? Did I remember that right? One was yellow, one was blue?
They were. I mean, they felt like an exhibition uniform, which I guess is what they are.
Yeah.
But I like when they're different.
I do too, but okay, I'm not going to devote minutes on the air to the uniforms. I didn't tend to love them. Do you you like the NBA? You know the NBA. You're younger than me. Do you enjoy, like, do you actually sit down, carve out time? Oh, wow, they're going to announce, all right, LeBron and KD are drafting their teams. Like, are you into that?
I check it out on social media afterwards. I did not sit down and carve out time to watch the draft live. I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Although
mm-hmm.
I think this drafting the All-Star team has actually worked out well.
Oh, for sure. No, listen, it's a new element of engagement. It's smart. I'm just saying I'm not going to carve out 30 minutes or whatever it is to actually watch that. I'll get it on social media, which I got last night, which is where I got the uniforms. But I think it's very smart of the NBA. Anytime that you can deliver LeBron James and Kevin Durant into millions upon millions upon millions of living rooms in a non-structured environment where you're just kind of chopping it up with Charles Barkley and the crew on TNT, that's awesome. You know, and they show their personalities. It's fun. It's loose. The part about the Utah Jazz players with the video games, that was funny. You know, it's funny because I never got that impression. Like, I get it. When LeBron says growing up, he was never the Utah Jazz. It does not surprise me that somebody from, you know, Akron, Ohio, which is you know where he's from. It's pretty tough. It's a tough neighborhood, man. I can understand why. Hell, I didn't even want to be John Stockton. I can understand why LeBron James was not gravitating to the pick and roll with John Stockton and Karl Malone playing video games. I understand that, but I never got the sense that, like, the Utah Jazz, like, they were that their shine was obscured. Like, back in the day, it was the NBA on NBC, like, with that great jingle, which is the best jingle, by the way, in the history of basketball. That's the best one. And all those games, you know, Ewing playing the Bulls, and, I mean, you had games to Seattle with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. I mean, these are games you absolutely had to watch. And the Utah Jazz, like, I never once felt that the Utah Jazz were a team that deserved more attention and was cast aside because of either their style or because of their address in Utah. Not once. I mean, you saw them all the time, the Utah Jazz. Now, I do have that sense. I'm not saying they're not on national games. They are. Remember last week they whacked the Lakers by 25. We talked about that. Clarkson had like three or four triples in the first quarter. They just waxed them. And they're a threat this year, for sure. A big-time threat. But maybe social media is not kind to the Utah Jazz. And I don't mean that they go out of their way to denigrate them. They just don't prop them up. They don't elevate their status or stature. But, you know, in the 90s, like, the Utah Jazz were everywhere. You didn't see a lot of people wearing Utah Jazz jerseys. But there was never, you know, an absence, an inexplicable absence from the national scene because they were based in Utah. The other thing that happened today, so Blake Griffin, we knew this was coming. And the other one now is going to be Drummond, who he's going to have to be traded for. Somebody, I would think somebody's going to trade for Drummond, where unlike Blake Griffin, they negotiated the buyout. Now, I don't know where Blake Griffin's going to go. I am pretty fascinated to see in a different environment, you know, what he can possibly do. Not that he's going to recapture what he had. He's below the rim at this point, as we've documented many times on the show. Doesn't even dunk. I don't even know if he has a dunk this year. Last time I checked, he had zero dunks, which is amazing.
Hasn't dunked since 2019.
20 nights, 2021. Blake Griffin hasn't. That's like saying Mike Trout hasn't hit a home run in 2 years. I mean, what? I mean, that is crazy. Or Jacob DeGrom hasn't had a strikeout in 2 years. Probably a better way to look at it. That's insanity. But it has been 2019. He's a different player. He camps outside the stripe, you know, shoots a lot of jump shots. He's okay. He's not great. He's okay. Minutes are down, 31 minutes a game, by far lowest of his career. I don't know if he'll wind up here. I'd kind of like to see Blake Griffin go to the Mavericks. They need another player, that's for sure. I'd like to see Blake Griffin with Doncic. You know, KP at 7'2", matchup issue, Doncic, the master setting him up. Not that he's going to be elevating above the rim, but he gets some easy looks. That could be interesting. Inbounds, out of bounds next, hour two. Tiki and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.